You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn and Sam Norris are with you on this occasion. No Dave Kellner. We've disregarded him completely, haven't we, Sam?
We've got so good at the European podcast, they've just decided they want us on all football podcasts.
We are slowly overthrowing Dave Kellner from everything that he does.
Yeah.
Soon the golf podcast.
Which I was on a couple of weeks ago. Mark Walton was on last week.
And I have been on once.
Yeah.
Well, twice in 2 years, and it's the same week every week, which is next week, because it's during Cheltenham, because Dave's normally too busy doing Cheltenham stuff. But it won't be me this time around.
Won't be me either.
It's going to have to be Dave. He's going to actually have to do his own job for once.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, if you like golf, listen to the golf podcast. If you don't, then keep listening to us, because we've got plenty of football coming your way. And who doesn't like football, Sam?
I don't want to know people who don't like football. That's not true, but... I get the disclaimer in quickly.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Right, coming up on this edition of The Punt, we've got 4 Champions League games, 1 Europa League game, and a Premier League game as well, in a week that is... sort of a bit all over the shop, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got little bits and pieces of everything, haven't we, really? The fact that Manchester City are taking on Stoke in a Premier League fixture on Wednesday night has rather thrown us off. And the problem we've got with a lot of the Champions League games is they're a bit done already after the first legs. Particularly, well, 2 of the 4 look completely over. 1 looks pretty much over. 1 is still quite wide open, that being Dortmund and Benfica, but... Arsenal have got a tough task. Barcelona have got a tough task. Napoli have a slightly less tough, but still quite tough task.
Yeah.
So, it is a little bit disappointing that in the second round of fixtures, the second legs, we're looking kind of like a foregone conclusion in a lot of the games.
That said, there is definitely value to be found in terms of the 90 minutes betting on the evening. So.
Yes.
And for the Man City Stoke game, it's a fantasy football nightmare. Or dream.
Yeah, because City play twice this week.
They've already not battered
for fantasy football points.
Yeah, and I've got Aguero captain.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm not stupid.
Double captain, triple captain?
No, I used that with Sanchez against Swansea in like October.
Mm.
Got a clean sheet, maybe. I think he got 1 assist. I don't think he got a clean sheet. Anyway, we're digressing. But we are going to start with Arsenal. That's what I was doing. Arsenal against Bayern. Tuesday night, Arsenal 11-5, the draw 14-5, and Bayern Munich at 23-20. That's the 90 minutes betting. But Bayern don't have to win this. They are 5-1 up from the first leg. This is probably the deadest rubber of all massive Champions League games ever. And yet, it didn't have to be this way. Arsenal, at one stage in Germany, were looking okay.
Yeah, they were. And despite the fact that they've got an away goal, which Barcelona don't, this one looks much more over than the Barcelona-PSG game, which still looks over, but not quite as heavily as this Arsenal one. Obviously beaten 5-1 in Germany. And they played well for the first half, but absolutely collapsed after half-time, really. They didn't manage a single shot on target in that entire second half, having had 5 on target in the first half. And there will be people who like that 23-20 about Bayern Munich. And there will be people who are definitely tempted by Bayern at that price. As you say, though, the problem is they don't need to win the game. They don't even need to draw it. They don't even need to avoid defeat as long as it's not by a ridiculously heavy margin. So that is a worry if you're looking to take Bayern on. I think Alexis Sanchez, as you mentioned there, will be absolutely key to this fixture. Obviously, he was benched at the weekend amid reports of a training ground row with his teammates, which Arsene Wenger has come out and rubbished only a few hours ago.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't
before
you?
Before we record this podcast, you would. But I think the words he used, I just saw this on Twitter, but I think totally false was what he said. So that's very defiant.
Hashtag fake news.
Exactly, yeah.
I'd imagine if he said that.
That would be great if he said that. That would be really good. So Alexis Sanchez has also been linked to the move to PSG on Monday. That was in the papers this morning and it was on Twitter. So his potential presence or not is crucial. If Arsenal are going to make any sort of a fist of this game, even in the 90 minutes, Alexis Sanchez has to play and he has to be firing. He's been directly involved in 26 goals in his 26 games in the Premier League this season, Sanchez, via assists or scoring them himself. So you know, it's not groundbreaking analysis for me to say that Sanchez needs to play and play well. But for them to have any hope of qualifying, well, for them to qualify, they'd have to make Champions League history. It's probably no surprise to hear that no team has ever overturned a 4-goal deficit in the Champions League second leg to qualify. So the odds are stacked heavily against Arsenal. And I really just can't make any sort of a case for them here. They're the side that are going to go chasing the game. But I just can't see it. I really can't. I didn't think they were very good against Liverpool at the weekend. And that was a Liverpool side who had won one game in their last seven going into that fixture. So it was a Liverpool team who were out of form. And they just weren't very good at all. So they're really going to struggle here against Bayern Munich. The one interesting stat for me was that Bayern Munich haven't actually kept a clean sheet away from home in the Champions League since 2015, which is a good run of games. And you know, they haven't always been playing top teams. So
no, if you think in the group stages, you'd certainly be expecting them to win to nil quite a few times.
And they haven't been doing that away from home. 2015 was the last time that they did keep a clean sheet on the road in the Champions League.
Was that against Olympiacos?
No, Dinamo Zagreb, I believe it was. In December of 2015.
I just remember that Olympiacos game because I had a bet on it.
Right.
Oh, but anyway, sorry.
Was it a winning bet?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was over 1.5, I think. And it was 1-0 for a very long time. And then they scored twice late on.
Right.
Anyway, go on. Sorry.
So the point I was going to make with that was both teams to score here, but the traders have got there first. It's 2-5, so you're not going to get very rich backing it. So I'd probably look to play something like Bayern to win and both teams to score, which is 12-5. That looks okay and an interesting way in if you do fancy Bayern but don't want to take that short price. I think if I was of that thinking, I would probably go for draw Bayern on the double result, which is 5-1, which I thought was quite big considering it landed in the first leg between these two sides, obviously. And a main feature of that game was Arsenal's dramatic collapse in the second half. As I mentioned earlier, no shots on target in the second half, having had 5 on target in the first half, sort of shows how much they wilted after half time. That could happen again here. So I think at 5-1, draw Bayern on the double result doesn't look too bad. It's a tough match to bet on, really, given the state of the tie. I think you either have to get heavily involved in something like both teams to score at 2-5, or keep stakes to a minimum and just play something at a bigger price. I'll be doing the latter, and I go for draw Bayern on the double result at 5-1.
Fair enough. Okay, Bayern just getting the nod. I was right, by the way, but it was just before. So Olympiacos was 3-0 to Bayern, but Zagreb just a bit after that.
So I was right.
I was right in that that happened, but you were right in
their last game was against Zagreb.
Yes.
Okay.
We're both right.
Everyone's a winner.
And sandwiched between those two games, a 2-0 defeat at Arsenal.
Mm.
But that wouldn't be enough for Arsenal fans. To qualify, Arsenal 25-1 if you're easily swayed. Bayern Munich 200-1 on. Best 200-1 shot ever.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a spare grand, go and have a pint on William Hill.
Yeah, careful. do gamble responsibly.
Yeah. That's what I said. If you've got a spare grand.
Very big if, listeners. Very big if.
If it's spare.
Sorry.
Mean. If you've got a spare grand. Not just if you've got a grand.
If you've got a spare grand, then we'll have it as well.
Well, yeah, true.
If you're giving it away.
Yeah, exactly.
Enhanced odds, plenty of them to get stuck into. Sanchez to score, Arsenal to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 in 90 minutes. Was 17-2, is now 9-1. You were mentioning that he could play a big part if Arsenal to do anything here. Offers for Lewandowski, Ozil, Robben, etc. All there on the William Hill website. Do take a look, but a big ask for Arsenal. A big ask for Napoli as well. They host Real Madrid. Napoli are 19-10. The draw is 13-5 and Real Madrid are 7-5. Madrid 9's on to qualify. Napoli are 5-1. If you fancy Ronaldo to score, Real Madrid to win. Pushed out from 21-10 to 5-2. The one thing that we will say, and we know this as European podcasters, Napoli at home very, very strong.
Mm.
Real do tend to ship plenty of goals and have had a bit of a sticky time of things of late, or at least as sticky as you can get when you're still dominating La Liga. Although now they've just got a bit of competition. Napoli's home form, yes, they lost to Atlanta in the league last week.
That's not as bad a result as it would have been in years gone by.
No, definitely not.
They're having a good season, Atlanta.
They are indeed. But typically Napoli win at home. That's just a given. They're going to have to win here, though, against a side that are better than the sides they normally play, and they're going to have to do it quite nicely as well. But that away goal gives them just a bit of a squeak, and it is only a squeak.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they've got a glimmer of hope, obviously. They'll fancy their chances more than Arsenal do, you would have thought, having having got that away goal, and the fact that they only trail by 2 on aggregate. It's 3-1 to Real Madrid, obviously. So a 2-0 victory here would do it for Napoli, but that is easier said than done against Real Madrid, who are suitably a short price to qualify. They should be looking to get the job done here. Napoli's hopes may well be bolstered by the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo does remain a slight doubt for this game. He missed the game against Eibar at the weekend, as did Gareth Bale and Alvaro Morata. Bale and Morata, from what I read, are set to be available and fit for midweek. Ronaldo possibly not. And I'm not sure Real Madrid, now that La Liga's a bit more up in the air, they might not risk him here, thinking that the tie is probably safe. So if he is a doubt, we might be able to get away with not playing Ronaldo. So Napoli have got that in their favour. If he doesn't turn up, that's obviously a positive for the home side here. I think it will be hard for them to progress, though. The last time Madrid lost a game of any sort by a 2-goal margin was back in April of last season, although that did come in an away game in the Champions League when Wolfsburg beat them 2-0. But I still don't hold much hope for Napoli, who come here off the back of a pretty tough run of fixtures in Serie A. They lost the first leg to Madrid. They then went on to beat Chievo, which was fine. They lost to Juve. Okay, then they lost to Atlanta. Okay, as I say, they're having a good season, but it's still 2 defeats. However, they got a massive result at the weekend when beating Roma. And whilst I think the tie is probably gone here, the confidence they'll have taken from that means that, for me, there's no reason why they won't make the 90-minute match a competitive one. So I don't expect them to get battered by any stretch of the imagination here. But Real Madrid, I think, will qualify. I think we're in for goals. Both teams to score and over 2.5 is 6-10, which looks a fair enough starting point. Obviously, it landed in the first leg. And if you look at Madrid's away matches this season, it's landed in plenty of their away games. They've scored in every single away fixture this season, but have only kept a clean sheet in 4 of their last 19 on the road. So both teams to score in away Real Madrid games, whilst you're not always going to get a juicy price about it, and you're not here at 6-10 for both teams score and over 2.5. I thought it looked fair given how much it lands, but in the search of a little more value, I'll go for over 3.5 goals here at a shade of odds against. It sounds like a lot of goals, but it isn't really 4 goals. 2-2, 3-1, these aren't unheard of score lines.
All you need is an early-ish goal. Mm. Even 1-0 at half time in a game where one side needs to go for it, you're fine.
Yeah.
And if you have got 2 by half time, and you're thinking, great, we're quids in here.
Exactly.
The only danger with that is if it does go very dead rubbery by half time.
Yeah, I mean, if Madrid go a couple of goals, if they're 2-0 up by half time.
But even then, they could run riot.
That is true. Mm. But over 3.5 was 6-5. I was surprised to see it that big. Landed in the first leg. And we've seen, with the exception of the Dortmund-Benfica match, all of the Champions League games really have gone goal crazy. So over 3.5 at 6-5 will do nicely for me.
Right, we'll move to Wednesday night's games. We'll start with Barcelona against PSG. Barca, 90 minutes prices are 4-9. The draw, 4-1. And PSG are 6-1. This, of course, was one of the big shocks of the previous, I was going to say previous round. It wasn't even the previous round. But PSG beating Barca 4-0. No away goal.
Mm.
Barca have to basically play for extra time, really, and that would be a 4-0 win.
Yes.
They're 8-1 to qualify. PSG are 1-20. Two things. One, surely if you think Barca could qualify at 8-1, you should have a fairly decent bet on Barca on the outrights at 4-9.
Mm-hmm.
Just some logic,
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah.
Or even Barca maybe -1 at a slightly more appealing price.
I think it's only 7-10, though, is it?
11-10.
Oh, 11-10. Okay.
Do you know what I mean, though? If you think they're going to qualify and you're going to have a bit of money on an 8-1, maybe.
I agree, yeah.
But also, why are Barca 8-1 to qualify? PSG are good.
I know. And a 4-0 lead going into this match, I mean,
put it this way, if this was a one-off game, would you be backing Barca -4 at 8-1?
Absolutely not, no.
Well, not quite -4 at
8-1. But yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. No, of course you wouldn't. And the fact that Arsenal are 25-1 to qualify, when technically on paper they're in a better position than Barca, because at least Arsenal have an away goal.
Yep.
Barca have still got a 4-0 deficit to overcome. They would have to make Champions League history to do so, as would Arsenal. No team has ever overcome a 4-goal deficit in the second leg. And of all the teams in world football, Barca probably would be either the only team or one of two teams that could possibly do this. I don't think they will. PSG are a good side, but Barca will probably feel they're much more equipped to get the job done and to make history than Arsenal are. They could well win at the Nou Camp. In fact, it's the probable outcome, I would say. They're likely to enjoy the lion's share of possession, which they didn't necessarily get in Paris, and they should be able to play more of their own game. But at 4-9, I'm probably just happy to let them win. There'll be lots of people looking at 6-1 for PSG, which I do think is a big price. But again, as we spoke about earlier with Bayern Munich, it's tough to bet on teams who don't need to win, don't need to draw, and as I said earlier, don't even need to avoid defeat unless it's a massive one. So 6-1 for PSG probably is too big, but again, how motivated are they going to be to actually go and try and win the game?
I just don't like backing sides that don't have to win.
Exactly. But
quite
yeah.
simply, even if they weren't the massive underdogs in this particular 90-minute encounter,
yeah,
it's never nice when maybe in a poor cup competition, you've got a side that have won the first leg 1-0. This is mainly abroad. Maybe win the first leg 1-0 and you think, oh, well, the 10's on at home.
Yeah.
They'll go and knock 3 or 4 past them. Well, if they don't have to,
then
what is pushing them with 10 minutes to go to really go for another goal? Nothing at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It can just get a bit difficult. So don't be too greedy here.
Exactly. And I thought if you were dead set on an outright bet, PSG plus 2 goals is 1-2, which I thought is actually quite big, really. That's the PSG win, the draw, and Barcelona to win by a goal, all running for you at 1-2.
So very similar price to Barca winning.
Yeah, exactly. So if you were dead set on an outright bet, that would be the one for me, PSG plus 2 at 1-2. But given this is a hard game to bet on, and again, it almost demands that you go for one at a bigger price, less than the stake. So I will go Dutch on Lionel Messi to score first and last. They are both available at 3-1. Now, normally, when it comes to Barcelona, you try and take on Messi with one of the other two. You try and make a case for Suarez, try and make a case for Neymar. Suarez is the same price as Messi on this occasion. Now, I think Messi still remains their most potent goal threat. So I won't be taking him on with Suarez when they're the exact same price. I'd only take him on if the price was significantly better. Neymar is a bigger price, but Messi's actually very much the man in form at the moment. He's scored 6 goals in his last 4 games. And crucially, for the bets I like, he's opened the scoring on 3 occasions in the last 4. And he's also closed the scoring on 3 occasions in the last 4. So if you do split your stakes on Messi first goal scorer and Messi last goal scorer at 3-1, there is a chance, of course, that they both land. If it finishes 1-0 and he scores the only goal of the game, then you win. And he's also scored the first and last goals in a 2-1 win over Leganes a few weeks ago. And most recently, he scored the first and last goals in a 5-0 win over Celta Vigo at the weekend. So Dutching on Messi to score first and last, I didn't think it was too bad. In a game, I think Barca will probably win, but I'm more than happy to let them do so at the price.
OK. Right, the final Champions League game that we're going to focus on is Dortmund against Benfica. Dortmund 4-11 on the outright. The draw 4-1 and Benfica are 8-1. That's the 90 minutes prices. To qualify, Dortmund 8-11, Benfica even money. Finally, Sam, a little bit of, well, I was going to say value. A tight game. Benfica won the first leg 1-0. There's no away goal. That opens things up. But Dortmund at home, pretty hard to oppose.
Yeah, it's the only tie of the week, really, that does remain finely poised after the first leg. Benfica take a slender 1-0 advantage to Germany. Dortmund, I feel, were a little bit unlucky not to have gotten at least a draw in Portugal. And whether Benfica are going to enjoy that kind of luck again for another 90 minutes is open to question. And since that defeat for Borussia Dortmund, the teams they've played in the Bundesliga have faced the full force of a Dortmund backlash, really. They've scored 12 and conceded just 2 since that first leg defeat. They hit Leverkusen for 6 at the weekend after back-to-back 3-0 wins against Wolfsburg and Freiburg. So Dortmund come into this in incredibly good goal-scoring nick. Benfica's form obviously reads very well too. They've won their last 4 games since the first leg and now a point clear at the top of the table. But of course, they play in a less competitive league, as we know, and they're the best team in that less competitive league. So I'm more enthused with Dortmund's recent results, although Benfica have done nothing wrong, and I wouldn't want to knock them too much coming into this. But I don't see this being a game that Benfica allow Dortmund to dictate either. They know that 1-0 is a precarious lead, and they must know that trying to protect that lead is probably a recipe for disaster. So I think Benfica will be going for the game as well, because they'll probably have in their own minds that 1-0, it probably isn't enough for us to qualify here. So we are going to have to attack. So I think we'll see a pretty open game here, given that it's competitively poised. But I do think both teams are genuinely going to be going for it. It was a real surprise to me that this was the only Champions League game in the first legs that didn't really spark to life in terms of goal scoring. I had this down as one of the bankers BTTS over 2.5. But I think that the second leg hopefully will provide that. And given Dortmund's impressive goal scoring form lately, I have to give them the nod here. I'll take them to qualify at home at 8-11. Didn't think that was too bad, to be honest. And to further support that bet, Benfica also have a pretty poor record against Bundesliga sides. They've played German opposition on 22 occasions and have only won 2 games, one of those obviously being the reverse leg of this fixture. So despite the fact that this is a very, very presentable opportunity for the underdogs who take an aggregate lead and a clean sheet at home, 12 goals in 3 games for Dortmund suggests to me that they are really dialing in. And 8-11 for them to qualify didn't look bad at all. So that will be the bet for me.
Okay, the Germans to get the better of the Portuguese side in that. Right, we will get to the Europa League in just a few moments. But first, we're going to focus on the only Premier League game coming up in midweek. It's Man City against Stoke on Wednesday evening. Man City are 1-4, the draw 5-1, Stoke are 12-1 as we record this. We're recording this on Monday afternoon, so there is scope for the prices to change a little bit. Man City, as we record, only were in action yesterday when beating Sunderland. Now, I think Manchester City are a frightening proposition when Sergio Aguero is on form, and he hasn't been for some time. He got taken out of the team, obviously, when Gabriel Jesus came in. Unfortunately, he's injured now. And Aguero still, after that, took a little bit of time to find his feet. But 2 goals against Huddersfield and a goal against Sunderland, and all of a sudden, he looks like he will score in every game once again. Now, he's 11-20 to do so here. You could take advantage maybe of the enhanced odds, Aguero to score, and Man City to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1, pushed out from 4-9-2. But it's pretty hard to find a Stoke bet here, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're not dreadful by any means,
no.
Stoke. But... And 1-4 is a bit of a, but no, City should win this and win it well.
They should, yeah. It is, as you say, really difficult to find a pro-Stoke argument. They're having a very Stoke-esque season. They're 9th in the table. They're probably going to finish within 2 or 3 places of their current position. You would think they will be marooned in mid-table again. But, you know, that's very much where Stoke are, and that's what they're like. They're going to win games in their turn this season. They'll mostly come up short against the top teams, but there's a lot of teams who are worse than them. They beat Borough at the weekend, who have slipped into the relegation zone at the moment. So it's not an unbelievable win for Stoke at the weekend. And City just look irresistible at the moment. They've won 7 of their last 8 games in all competition. The only blot on the copybook was a goalless draw against Huddersfield in the FA Cup. And of those 7 games, they've won 6 of them by 2 or more goals. So they look impossible to oppose for me this week. I think City minus a goal is a bit of a banker at 4-7. As I mentioned, 6 of their last 7 wins have been by a 2-goal or better margin.
Could you back City to win to nil?
What price is City win to nil?
Don't know. Didn't look that far. I can tell you, City and both teams to score is 17-10. Discuss the chances of that while I find the price.
I think City win to nil. They've started to defend a lot better more recently.
21-20, by the way. 21-20 for Man City to win to nil. It's one of those games you can't see Stoke doing much attacking.
Yeah.
But when Man City are defending, they're looking shaky. A little better now that Bravo's been dropped.
Yeah, they've tightened up slightly. But I think, I'd tell you what also doesn't help them either, and it doesn't help the two keepers, Bravo and Caballero, it doesn't help that Pep insists that the goalkeepers play out from the back all the time. There are some occasions where, genuinely, no matter how much you enjoy watching beautiful football, there are some occasions when leathering the ball up the field is exactly what needs to be done.
If in doubt, kick it out.
Exactly. So I don't think they're helped sometimes by Pep's. And you can imagine that if you're not doing as Guardiola asks, you'll be bummed out of the side. So I think that
see heart, Joe.
Exactly, yeah. So I think the whole back 5 have to play it out.
Yeah.
And that always leaves them susceptible because you can't always do that in the Premier League or in any league for that matter. So I'm just always worried that they do have a chance of conceding a goal. So it wouldn't be for me that, to be perfectly honest. -2 is 8-5. I didn't think that was too bad worth chancing. Stoke are a decent side, but they lost 4-0 to Spurs the other week, who are very much in the same category as Manchester City. So I didn't think -2 at 8-5 was too disrespectful to Stoke. The bet I am going to go for, though, I'm going to go for a goal scorer here. Sergio Aguero, obviously, as you mentioned, has returned to the fold in recent weeks after the injury to Jesus. So he is a man to look at to score a goal with the form that he's been in. He scored 5 in his last 3 games. He's 11-20 any time, which doesn't offer loads of value, but it is what it is. There's an excellent chance he does score. The bet I'm going to go for, Alex, is Leroy Sané to score at 8-5 any time. He's also a man in good form. He scored 3 in his last 3, and he's been impressive since the turn of the year. I think the jury was perhaps out on him earlier on in the season. Just looked a little bit lightweight, and a little bit like he hadn't quite adapted to English football, but
very raw.
Yes, but I think he's beginning to look more like the finished article now. He even drew Gareth Bale comparisons on Match of the Day 2 last night.
Nice.
They were from Phil Neville, so do with that.
Take that with a pinch of salt. Yeah, I'd rather his brother was saying it.
do with that what you will, but Phil Neville did say last night on Match of the Day 2 that he reminds him of a young Gareth Bale, and 8-5. That Leroy Sané scores looks good value for me. 3 in his last 3, and he's a nice price with Aguero taking so much out of the market.
Nope, fair enough. Stoke have had a pretty torrid run away from home, purely the fixtures they've been handed. But against Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea and Spurs in the last couple of months, they have conceded 3, 4, 4 and 4. Another, not drubbing, but a comfortable success,
yes,
looks likely for Man City. And if you want to back Leroy Sané anytime at 8-5, that's nice. But Sané to score, Man City to win, we've pushed out from 13-8 to 2-1. Not bad at all.
Very good. Very good indeed.
So, that is City Stoke. What about United? They travel to Rostov on Thursday night in the Europa League. Rostov are 4-1. The draw is 5-2. And Manchester United are in the betting at 4-5. There is a whole host of Europa League action as well coming up on Thursday evening. So do take a look at the William Hill website for that. 8 games to go at 3 at 6 o'clock and 5 at 8:05. 6 o'clock though for the Rostov-Man U game. And Manchester United will be very disappointed to have only drawn with Bournemouth, but still, you look at their form overall in the last 3 or 4 months, really, they've been fantastic. But Rostov, bit of an unknown quantity, very strong at home. They beat Bayern here in November. This won't be easy. It's priced up, I think, a little disrespectfully towards the Russians.
I agree. I wouldn't fancy Manchester United at 4-5 here. I don't think they'll win the game, but 4-5, I could happily leave that because this is going to be a real, real test for Manchester United. Obviously, it goes without saying, it's never easy for anyone to travel to places like Russia and the Ukraine. The atmosphere is always very hostile. It's a long way to go. It's cold. All these factors we know. So it will be tough. Rostov were very much the Russian Leicester last season. They only just missed out on the title. They ended up finishing 2nd by 2 points to CSKA. And whilst they've regressed a little bit this year, they're only 7th this time around and they remain extremely good at home. Is that the weather in Rostov? Oh, it's balmy. Nicer than it is here.
Currently. No, Monday at 6 o'clock. That might be their time. Possibly.
Right.
Anyway, temperature in Rostov is, let's say, a minimum of 10 degrees. But the average is around about 13. In fact, that's overnight, isn't it? Sorry, I can't read weather. I'm not paid to do weather, Sam. But yeah, it's
to do weather.
To do weather. No, we were told that. We were told. You said that it was very cold. Maybe not actually.
Maybe we just assume that all of Russia is really cold all the time.
Russia's quite big.
It is very, very big.
I know this. Let's just have a look. Rostov. Where is it within Russia? Oh, right. It's basically just Ukraine.
Oh, so it's southern Russia.
Yeah. Which is actually, you're not a million miles away from Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey. Mm-hmm. Definitely not Finland and the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe not quite as chilly as we thought.
Perhaps not.
Not that that should massively influence your betting, but it is a factor, let's be honest.
It is.
You're in sub-zero conditions and you're used to playing in not sub-zero conditions, not that Manchester's a weather haven, anyway.
Yeah, fortunately I didn't build my whole bet around it being cold, because that would have been a disaster. But as you quite rightly mentioned, their home record is just superb. Since May of 2015, only Atletico Madrid have come here and won a game of competitive football. They've lost a couple of club friendlies, but throw them out the window. And Atleti only won 1-0 here. So the fact that they beat Bayern Munich 3-2 in the Champions League, this will not be an easy game for Man United whatsoever. That being said, they are in great form. They've lost just once since November. That was in the League Cup to Hull. And it is beginning to click for them, although the draw at the weekend against Bournemouth was a blip. We also saw Zlatan put a foot wrong for the first time this season. He missed a penalty, got stamped on.
I was going to say.
Had his poor elbow headbutted by Tyrone Mings.
It wasn't him putting a foot wrong so much as someone else putting their foot in
his face.
But no, he did then go on to miss a penalty
yeah.
And elbowed
Tyrone Mings and then said that he jumped into his elbow.
Looked thoroughly riled as well at stages and missed a load of chances early on in the game to make it 1-0. Isn't looking quite as lethal as he has done at times this season.
No, and to be fair to him, it is the first game in quite a while that I've seen him do a lot of things wrong. So there is that to factor in. But that draw, if anything, might just motivate them even more for the Europa League. On paper, the top four in the Premier League isn't out of reach for them by any means. I think they're 3 points behind Liverpool and they've got a game in hand. But it feels to me like winning the Europa League is going to be the best chance they have of a return to Champions League football next season. So I do think they'll be taking it really seriously. Mourinho has demonstrated with some of his team selections that he's taking it quite seriously as well. They're the favourites for the tournament. I think as long as they're professional against any team they draw, bar maybe Roma, then this competition probably is theirs to lose. So I think they will be taking this seriously, but I'm happy to pass them over at 4-5. And Rostov plus a goal at around the same price, it's slightly bigger, in fact, it's even money. That appeals more to me. I think a draw is very likely to happen here, possibly 0-0 or 1-1. I did like under 2.5 goals, but at 8-13 becomes a bit of an ugly bet there. I think United will qualify over the two legs, but they'll probably be more than happy to do their winning at Old Trafford. And a draw in Russia, I think, would be viewed as a good result for Manchester United. So it's around about the same price as a Man United win, but I'll take Rostov or the draw at even money.
Okay. Certainly a tricky visit to Russia for Manchester United. Right, what about naps then, Sam? What's your best bet be from this whole podcast?
Leroy Sané, anytime, 8-5. Really have been impressed with him since the turn of the year.
You wouldn't want to take him to score and City to win at 2-1?
I forgot about that, yeah. Okay. Go on then, Dunny. Yeah. Go on then.
I just thought, why not, you know, while we're in.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, 2-1 on that. Do I have a best bet in this? I think Aguero is an absolute banker to score, but the price is reflected. He's 11-20.
Do we have coupled goal scorers in that game?
Ooh.
Because we could, without having to put our selections together in a conventional double, we could have a single that involves both of our players.
I'll tell you what I will go for. Just scroll back up there when you get a second. I will go for Sergio Aguero. Keep going. To score in both halves.
Okay.
At 6-1. I think that's massive.
Nice.
Because personally, I'm going to level with you. I'm not mad keen on Sané to score. I think he's very good, and I think he'll play a big part. If he plays as well, just bear in mind, rotation's possible.
True, yeah.
Given that they did play on Sunday.
That's true.
Aguero will play, and to score in both halves, 6-1, that's a bit big for me, as far as I'm concerned. But, so we have napped in the same game, so you can't double it, I'm afraid. Sorry, everybody, but there's plenty for you to go at, I'm sure. From this podcast, best luck with whatever bets you have. The same to you, Sam. Are you going to put up that
thank
price,
you very much.
By the way?
I'm going to see if I can find it. Yeah, Sergio Aguero and Leroy Sané both scoring time.
3-1.
3-1. Okay.
3-1. It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
I
prefer mine though.
Thought it would be a bit bigger.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Right. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Regular punters, as in Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern, and Tom Kerwin, I'd imagine, are back this week. What have we got coming up?
Friday, you would
FA
have thought.
FA Cup,
yeah.
Isn't it? So they will be here. Yeah. It'll be slightly diluted. And there's some Premier League games, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah, there are some.
A real mix, once again. Anyway, thank you for joining myself and Sam. Listen to the European Football Podcast, too.
We'll be back on... No, we won't. You won't be on the European Football Podcast this week, will you?
No, I won't.
I'll be here.
I may do a little bit for it, but I won't be with you.
Well, yeah. We won't be sharing studio
anyway,
space.
Let's stop talking about that. This is the punt. Thanks for joining us, listeners. Myself and Sam will be back at some point. Dave will be back on Thursday or Friday. Best luck with your bets this midweek.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.